So, annoyingly, we have to skip over the Gospels this morning because I kind of think I have to really talk to you about the second reading. So if you were listening to the second reading, which is St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, you will find that there, well, at least 50% of the congregation will be bristling at two comments made in that letter. One of them was this idea of man as the head of woman. Okay, we will get there. And the second thing is this phrase where St. Paul talks about, as the church submits to Christ, so should wives to their husbands in everything. And I can see that that might sort of, you know, sound a little bit foreign, a little bit alien to our mindset. But what I want to argue is that whatever else St. Paul means to say, it is simply a mistake to take this passage of Scripture as a kind of scriptural warrant for chauvinistic gender stereotypes. That's just wrong. It's not what St. Paul is saying. So we get to the first thing first, when St. Paul talks about the idea of man being the head of woman. So think about it. For us, the dichotomy is between the head and the heart, and the heart is associated with emotions. So there's this pop song that keeps, whenever I'm driving in the car, I hear it. I quite like it. I don't know who it's by, but there's a line in it where the singer sings, "You could break my heart in two, but when it mends, it beats for you." It's lovely. It's really nice. I quite like it. But you think about it, the heart, metaphorically, is what we love with. It's where we feel our emotions, whereas the head is what we think with and where we take decisions. So the idea would be that the head should lead the heart. That's why figuratively we talk about things like the head of government, for example. And in that cultural context, of course, when you talk about man as the head of woman, understandably, that's kind of controversial. But think about it for a minute. Though that way of thinking about the head and heart is cultural and not biological. Because actually, my heart doesn't feel love. My heart is a muscle that pumps blood around my body. It is a poetic metaphor when I say that my heart is what I love with. And if you think about it, even my head, I don't think with my head or just with my head. What I think depends upon what I hear, which means my ears are involved, upon what I see, which means my eyes are involved, upon what I taste, upon what I can touch, and upon what I can smell. The whole of Kevin thinks. It's not just my head. Take something even as simple as counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. You think I'm doing it with my head? I'm doing it as much with my hand as I am with my head. The point is that even when we talk about the head as the place where we think, it's a metaphor. And because it's a metaphor and not a biological fact, it is culturally conditioned. And what that means then is that those metaphors can vary from culture to culture. And so what St. Paul means metaphorically by the head is not what we mean by the head. Because for your first century Jew, and that's what St. Paul was, you don't have emotions with the heart. That's not where your emotions happen. Your emotions happen in your guts, in your bowels. Think about it. My heart, it beats for you. The digestion taking place in my lower intestine, it's all about you, darling. I mean, I'm a celibate, but even I know that's not going to work as a chat-up line. For the first century Jew, the bowels are where the emotions happen. And the place of deepest decision is the heart. See, the heart is where decisions are made. So if there is a proper center of authority and government in the person, for St. Paul, it is the heart and not the head. And St. Paul does not say man is the heart of woman. It says man is the head of woman. And the head for the Jew of the first century is where life flows from. So the idea would be, you know, you think about it, how do you kill a snake? You kill a snake by cutting its head off, because the head is where what transmits life to the rest of the body. And that's what St. Paul means by the head. So when he says, you should think about it, you know, so he says, why should we regard husbands as they regard the Lord? Since as Christ is the head of the church and saves the whole church, gives life to his body, the church. Doesn't say govern or command or despotically lords it over. It says gives life, because that's what the head does. This is that phrase. Christ is the head of the church and saves the body. That is, saves, gives life to. So when St. Paul calls the husband the head, he means not that the man is to command and govern his wife. Rather, he means that husbands should give their lives for and to their wives. First point. Second point. Women should submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. And the problem here is that the word we have translated as submit is just inadequate. I don't know how you would translate it adequately, but it is inadequate. In the original Koine Greek, the word St. Paul uses is hupotasomenoi, which has three parts. It's a Greek word, three parts, okay? So the word hupo, tas, and omenoi, okay? So we're going to deal with the omenoi bit, first of all. Now, the ending omenoi tells us that this verb is a middle voice verb. Now, we don't have middle voice verbs in English, but a middle voice verb in Greek denotes an action done to oneself or for oneself, for one's own benefit. So in Scotland, we wouldn't really say this, but you know how sort of sometimes in American films, you get the hillbilly character, and he sort of says, I don't know, I'm gonna get me one of those fancy motor cars or whatever it is, yeah? But that thing of I am gonna get this for me, for my benefit, that's a middle voice verb, okay? And this verb is middle voice. And that's important, because St. Paul does not say, husbands, feel free to lord it over your wives. He doesn't say that. He asks wives to perform this action, which we'll get to themselves for their own benefit. He does not give men license to abuse or lord it over women. But what's this action that women are to do to and for themselves? And here we come to the two other parts of the verb. First of all, hupo, which is a preposition, which means it describes a spatial relationship. So in English, we have words like over or under, up or next to. Hupo is one of those types of words. And it can mean under. And I suppose that's where the translation submit comes from. But hupo can also, depending on the context, mean behind. And the difference is subtle, but I think it's important. The middle part of the verb is the verb stem, tas. And tas gives the meaning of the action. And literally, in Greek, to tasostai, see, I remember my old Greek verbs, to tasostai, that's the infinitive, is to do what an army does when it's readying itself for battle. It's to put yourself in order, to arrange yourself, to form a battle line, to organize yourself or to motivate yourself, all of these things. So if you put all that together, what the verb means is, wives, choose for yourselves to arrange yourself behind your husband. Or better, wives, choose for yourselves to give priority to your husbands. And that is a very different thing to saying, wives, be a submissive doormat. Dear sisters, St. Paul does not want you to be a doormat, and neither does God want that of you. But if the idea of giving priority to your husband still hits an awkward note, look what St. Paul has to say to husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and sacrificed himself for her. That is, husbands, love your wives to the point that you are prepared to give your life for them, because that's what heads do, and that's what Christ did for the church. And not just to give your life, but to give your life in the most shameful and humiliating way, in the most excruciatingly painful way. Gentlemen, if you want to be a Christian husband, St. Paul says that you have to be prepared to give your wife everything you have, everything you are, and everything you ever will be. And wives, you are to respond to that gift from your husband by loving your husband so much that their welfare is the most important concern of your life. We can't help but read this passage through the lens of the sexual politics of our own era. But that's a mistake. It's not about that. It's not about feminism. It's not about chauvinism. It's about a mutual service of love between spouses. And that service of love is patterned upon Jesus Christ. Wives, choose to love your husbands more than you love your own priorities. Husbands, place everything you have and are at the service of your wives. Dear husbands and wives, when broken people who are looking for meaning in their lives look at you, they should be able to say, you see their relationship. That's kind of what Jesus is like. See how those two love each other. See how mum and dad love each other. See how gran and granddad love each other. That's what God's like. And that is a breathtakingly noble and a heart-stoppingly beautiful vocation.